Amen. I hope you can say amen to that tonight. God has been good. He was so good to us through the storm. And even before that, he was good enough to send his son to die on Calvary for me. Amen. And take your Bibles, if you would, tonight and go to John chapter number 13. God is good. He has been good. And he will continue to be good. Tonight, I really do want to preach on the love of God and just kind of take you through the scriptures, more of maybe a Bible study tonight. But just something that I really believe where God would have us tonight. In John chapter number 13, I don't know if it's all going to come together tonight the way that God has laid it upon my heart to give you the message. So let's ask him to help us again tonight before we get into the message. Dear Lord, I do come to you tonight, and the best way I know how, God, I surrender myself again. Lord, help me to just be your messenger boy. I know what you've burdened my heart with tonight to give to your people, and I pray, God, that you just use me as your vessel to just go through the Word of God and let them hear the truth of your Word, Lord, that it'll encourage them and strengthen them, edify the believer tonight, Lord, through your Word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 13, if you look at the very first verse, I want to, the title for the tape room tonight would be A New Commandment. A new commandment. And that really the theme will be on love tonight, and I want you to be able to see that. But the only time in the New Testament that you see Jesus using the term a new commandment is connected to love, and not just any love, but a love that we have for each other in Christ as brethren. And so although that many of the Old Testament commandments, and even this morning as we preached and taught one to another here and talked about fathers giving their children the commandments of the Word of God and mom promising to teach the law and having those that dedication of their child to God, the commandments of God are important. And I would say if there was anything is important, and when Jesus takes something, all the commandments are of God, folks. I just want you to understand that all the Old Testament, but when Jesus comes and brings in a New Testament, and then he says in one place in the New Testament, here's a new commandment that I give you. That ought to perk our ears up. It ought to make us go, I probably need to listen to this one. I probably need to hear this because this is new. Now, we often talk about if it's new, it's not true. But when Jesus says it, it's always true because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And so here in the scripture in verse 1, I'm going to skip the chapter, but I want to just tell you what's in the middle. We're going to read the very first verse. In the middle, you'll find him washing feet to teach his disciples to be servants one to another, not a command or an ordinance of the church. I'm so glad that when we have the Lord's Supper that I don't have to follow that up with foot washing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen? But it is a picture of how we ought to serve each other. That, you know, if you know, the world has this idea of a triangle, and many businesses have tried to build it, where they tried to build the base and they keep funneling to the person on the top. But the greatest among us ought to be the greatest servant, the Lord Jesus said. He ought to be the one, when we, the farther we, the it's an upside down pyramid, if you would. It's the one person that would seemingly to the world be on top, but he is just the lowest or the main servant of all. He covers everyone. And so here in the scripture, as he goes through this, he's trying to teach that principle as he girds himself as the master and washes his servants or his brethren's feet. He does for them, even though they could do for themselves. And even Peter, he's resistant to it. But when Jesus says, listen, if you don't let me do this, you have no part with me. And I love what Peter says. He did, you know, sometimes he just stuck his foot in his mouth, but right here in John chapter 13, he's like, don't just wash my feet then, wash every bit of me because I'm all in. Amen. And I love that when you talk to Peter, when you talk about it there and you see him. But at the end of the chapter, he's going to give us that new commandment. So he begins the chapter with love and ends the chapter with love. But in the middle, he not only washes his servant's feet, but he washes his Judas' feet as well. And then he goes to a place where he tells them, I'm going to be betrayed, and comes all the way to the back end of the chapter. And while he has that love, he leads into chapter 14 with the thought of love. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God and believe also in me. And he just encourages us. Love ought to give us commandments. It ought to help us live God's commandments out because of love. We ought to be, if I could say it this way, comforted by love. To realize that a holy God loved us so much that he sent his son from heaven to die on Calvary and just to redeem us back into himself. We ought to be comforted consistently that if God loved me that much, he's not going to stop today. He's not going to change tomorrow because before the foundation of the world, he chose to love me. Amen. We ought to get that. Look at verse number one. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now that end there, I just want to remind you tonight that God is not bound by the same things we're bound by. God measures things here. This is a measurement of Jesus' earthly life. This is a measurement of what we're measured by, breath, life, a certain number of years and time. But God is not bound by time. God lives outside of that. And don't think that we're going to come to some place where we're going to find the end of God's love. God's love is going to be around. And again, he is the beginning and the end. And again, it's an infinite time span. It's just going to keep on going. It's not a time measurement the way we understand it. It's outside of this dispensational time frame where God has chosen to measure everything by us rotating around the sun. One day he will be the light, and the light will be constant, and it will be forever because he's forever. In chapter 13, and look at the last couple verses here in the chapter. I want you to see this. The last couple verses of chapter 13, I think we'll start in 34. And he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And so these men, he has told them that he's going to go away. He's told them that he's only got a little bit of while. So they get focused. And this is something that we, if we're not careful, we get focused on the temporal things. Jesus says, my time with you right now is short and just a little while, but he also gives a new commandment of love. And rather than focusing on the new commandment and the thing that God gave them to do, they focus on his leaving, not on his return. They focus on his leaving and not on his new commandment. Too many times when someone stands and gives us a new commandment or something new that we're about to enter into or something that we're going to do, fear strikes a place in our heart. And we focus on the thing rather than the new thing that God wants us to do or the thing he wants us to step forward in faith in. We back up in fear because that's what we heard. That's what we take away from a situation. And Peter and all the disciples are no different here. Jesus says, I'm about to go away from you, but I give you a new commandment. He's trying to get them to focus on the thing that he wants most and for all men to realize that they're different than all the rest of the world because this called out assembly, the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, is different because they love one another with a genuine, unearthly love. They're bound together by something that is out of this world and cannot be explained. And they love one another because of it. Not because they like each other's personalities. Not because everyone just meshes and we're besties. But because God commanded it of us. And he's put a Holy Spirit inside of us to empower us to be able to do it when nobody in the world could do that. Personalities clash. It doesn't matter. We can love each other. You sit on the east side of the church, it don't matter. The people that sit on the west side of the church, it don't matter. No matter where you sit in church, it's not east side, west side. It's one church. It's the body of Christ. Amen. And we often talk about it and we kind of giggle. But you know, the Bible has so much to say about it. And it is a new commandment that Jesus gave us. There are two other places that it's mentioned in the New Testament. I will not read it tonight. But if you want to go to 1 John sometime and read in 1 John and in 2 John, John references these new commandments. Really, John's letters are focused on this last thing because John finally, out of all of them, usually John was the youngest. And usually the Bible says that a little child will lead us. When everybody else was being led by fear, the one that was the disciple whom Jesus loved got it. this new commandment. He wrote three letters about it, really, to the church and tried to give them that love that Jesus wanted for them. I want to run some references with you tonight. I want you to see here that the first, you see love commanded. We're commanded to love one another. That would be number one tonight. And then I want you to turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. I've marked some of these, so I may be a little faster than you tonight, but that just may be a maybe. And I said not only should, you know, we're commanded to love, but we ought to be comforted by love. One of the things that I think the hurricane and even people are dealing with now is fear. And fear, if you were to go to 1 John, and for time's sake tonight, we won't run those references in 1 and 2 John, but perfect love casts out all fear. When we have a right prescription of love in our life, and that's really just our relationship with the Holy God. When we have a right knowledge of who God is, we ought to realize that when I'm right smack dab in the middle of His will, whatever comes my way is the will of God. And I've heard preachers say, you know, as long as I'm in the will of God, I'm bulletproof. But sometimes they're not. And sometimes, even when we get sick, even when something happens to us, God is going to use that to show the world that we love each other. God, there are churches hurting tonight, much worse than we are, that are down in the coast. And God, it seemed like, where was God in all this? Just wait, He'll show up. Just wait. Well, why did God allow this? It tore up churches and preachers' homes, and believers have hurt by this thing. Just wait and watch and see how not only the believers that live in Fort Myers, but believers around the world will come to the aid of that church, that person, that pastor, and we'll watch what God does in that place and how God is glorified. Not man, not a storm. Not destruction, but God is glorified through what they went through. And on the back end of it, just like Paul, they can say, God has been good. I've had more gains than losses, as has already been sung tonight. Too many times in our life, we short sell God, and God didn't have all this planned, or He didn't see a storm coming. God is in control. Look at verse number 19 in chapter 3. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Even for us, when we read this, we ought to take away some things and be comforted by love. First of all, we understand that to know the love of Christ is simply to be in Christ Jesus. To realize that He died on Calvary and that He rose again to save a sinner like me. When we understand that, that's the basic knowing God. But the deeper I learn about my God, the more I realize that God certainly is love. And if God is love and God has no end, then the love of God has no end. He goes on, He says, which passeth knowledge. When we even get to the place where we understand this, you know, to know things in this life is the chief pursuit of men. They want to know things and about how things work, and to have the most knowledge. Countries and nations battle with each other, send spies on each other. They send satellites into space so that they can know more and more and more about their enemy, because they seek to have more knowledge and more afford. And we do it as a country. But even for us, when the Bible tells us that, I believe throughout this book tells everything that we could really absorb about God and what He wants us to know about Him. But one of the things the Bible says that man could never know is the love of God. We cannot comprehend just how much God is love and how much He loves us. You say, well, this is just a lovey-dovey message. All right, come back next week and see if you get the same thing. Amen. You better wear your steel-toe boots, right? But I'm right where God wants me to be tonight. You say, you're getting soft. You're softy in your old age, preacher. No. The whole counsel of God is not just preaching damnation and hellfire. It's also preaching just how good a God we serve. Amen. He says, and to know the love of God, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness. Do you know, when I think about this, and I realize, and for those of you that know the scripture, realize that perfect love casts out all fear. You can't be full of fear and the fullness of God. Because God is not fear. God is not going to put, I mean, now, there is the such thing as the fear of the Lord. But it isn't what man considers fear or scared. It's reverence. It's a homage that we give God, that He is so holy and so high and so right and always going to deal with us the way He said in Scripture. As His child, when we get away from Him, He's going to chastise us because He's better than any parent. Sometimes parents get busy, and sometimes too busy, to do the job that God gave them, which ought to be their very first job, and that is to tend their family, to give reproof, to watch over them. But God's not like us. God's going to tend His sheep. God's going to watch over His family. God is going to give reproof when it is due, and He's going to chastise when it is necessary to bring His people back into His fold. He's that good a God. And if you take that as an angry God, you're sadly mistaken. That is love. Every whooping I ever received from my dad said, I'm doing this because I love you. As a child, I didn't understand the love of my father. As a father, I now understand the love of my father. But when I was a boy, I was thinking, I wish I could love you back. But you know, after I grew a little bit and became a father, all of a sudden I realized just how much He loved me. Because every time He swung the paddle in reproof, it was breaking His heart that He had to. It was breaking His heart, and He was constantly worried about whether He was harming me or whether He was helping me with every swing of the paddle. What a God we have. What a picture that God has given us with the Father in the home and the Father in heaven. He goes on. I want you to turn with me. Turn back to John chapter 15. We're going to run some scripture quickly. I want you to just be comforted tonight. And I think the best way to do that is just to tell you who God is. And the best way to tell you that is to show you in His Word. John chapter 15 and verse number 9. We realize that He begins the chapter with being the true vine. We need to be in Christ. We need to be with Him. And He says here in verse number 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, and even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Jesus not only tells us how to abide in His love and to be tied into the vine, but to have the right kind of love as a Christian. Oftentimes when we get out into our own way and into our own path, following our own commandments or the tweaking that we like to do, our love for Christ wanes. Our love for His church, our love for the new commandment of our brethren often wanes. Way too many times we get away from God because we're not doing the simple things we know that God wants us to do. And I'm not talking about too many times we think about every time we begin as man to be able to fill our head with all the thoughts of just because I won't go to Africa or I won't go to some other place and serve Him, that's what God is calling us to do. God just wants you to serve Him right where you are with His commandments. He doesn't want you to go across the world until you will go across the street and tell your neighbor that Jesus saves. He wants you to just tell the people that you're working with or the people that are working on your power that Jesus saves. He just wants you to tell some people around you that God is good and God is love, and if they would simply just really turn from anything else they're trusting in and repent and turn to Him, that they could be saved, that they could have a home in heaven. Do you know that in this time period, any time that there is disaster, it makes man think about their end. It makes men and women, or woe man if you want it that way, think about just what could happen and where they'll spend eternity. And one of the greatest messages for all those folks, do you know what a blessing it is to not only love each other and for them to see you pulling together, but also for you to have a love for them in the midst of a crisis, to stop everything you're doing and to say, I don't mind telling you how you can have that. Do you know, even today, somebody was at our house working on our power, knowing that I was a pastor, after they've got my power going, does this give me a free pass to heaven, is what they asked my wife. And my wife said, that ain't how it works. And he said, well, I'll have to do more good works so that I can get there. She said, that ain't how it works. She went into the house and gathered up bottles of water and some food for them because, these guys were from Chicago, folks. They drove all the way down here to be a help to us. They knew where our church was because they've been staging right over here out of this parking lot. She said, my husband is the pastor of Landmark Baptist Church in Haines City. They said, we know where that is. She walked out there with a bag of goodies and then gave them tracks, said, you were asking about this and how you could get there. And this right here will tell you how you can do that. You say, what are you going to do? How can God be glorified in a storm? He can bring people from Chicago that never would have came to Haines City before and probably never would have been thinking about their eternal destiny. And they got to a place and to a person that would love them enough to walk outside and say, you were asking about this. This is how you can get there. Because really, it's not about the place. It's about the person. Because the place is being prepared by the person that's going to take us there. He goes on, it's not only that God's, really when we see this, think about how God's love is infinite. If the Father is infinite and he never ends, then how infinite is the love of God when we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that not only have all those parts of our salvation, but how much their parts work with our love. If I were to try to, even if I could fathom the love that the Father has for me, even though the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of them love me in a different way. Even the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit love each other. And the Son says here that by obedience, do you know he's a perfect captain of our salvation because of obedience? And pictures obedience in the verse. As the Father hath loved me, so love I you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He not only came and loved us and died for us, but he was a great example of fulfilling the commandments of the Father in our life. Folks, I don't know about you, but I can't help but the more and more I learn about my Jesus, the more I love him, the more I understand about what true love is. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. You've heard this one before. This is one that you understand, but you know that God's love is completely unmerited for you and I as sinners. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Do you realize God, who knows all things, looked down the road and loved us with a love that I cannot completely understand, but wanted to save me from something that I'll never have to see, that I'll never know, because he looked down the road and saw it for me and sent his Son to pay the debt that I couldn't pay for myself so that he could redeem me back into himself. That was completely unmerited. There was no good in me and you. He didn't look down there and say, do you know what he said? The reason that he did that was for the joy set before him. Do you realize, as a parent, when I began to really learn about love, I thought it was great to get Christmas presents, but it was a whole nother thing when I began to give them and put them together for my kids. Christmas changed drastically for me from a time of getting and wishing to a time of listening to what others wanted and being able to complete the things that they get. Can you imagine the love that the Father in heaven has? And even just think about the prayers that you sent up during the storm, pre-storm, mid-storm, and after the storm, how much God was heard from his people, some of them who had not prayed in a very long time, the way that they prayed and with the intensity that they prayed, and the love that he had and how excited he was that he could come in and answer some of those things. As a parent, I can only imagine. I can only imagine what it was like. God, I mean, at my, you know, five kids in my house, if I could hear from all five of them, and I, you know, it's, you know, when all five of them talk at once, that's crazy talk. You know, I mean, it's like, all right, somebody's got to hush up one at a time here, all right? And so I can understand, but God is so great that he hears all of us on the same plane and listens and hears and understands and can take all that down and then answer not in our will, but in his. What would be for our good and for his glory? What a love the Father has for us. He won't just answer and give us what we want. Think about as a parent. There are times, and if you're an honest parent, there have been times when it was easier for you to give. You had a question in your mind whether this was good for your kid or whether it was going to be good for you so that they'd leave you alone. And sometimes you gave them what they wanted instead of what they needed. But I serve a God that is always good to give me what's good for me, even when I'm not going to like it. Even when I don't like the answer, he's going to give me what's good for me and will be for his glory. What a God we serve. He goes on. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 13. You understand? You know this one. Hebrews 13, 8. He says in Hebrews 13, 8, he's unchanging. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even in the book here, when we understand who God is and we realize that he is love and that he has loved us and that that love will never change, that's exciting to me. But you know, he couples this with doctrine in verse 9. I want you to see this tonight. And I know you say, well, you're jumping ship. No. Because you know, love, a true love for somebody, it focuses doctrine. Doctrine is what divides this world. What people will divide over and run down the street, you can't tell me that you love God and you're not. What is following his commandments and living right is the doctrine. He says in verse 9, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Isn't it funny that he takes, and just when we're talking about love and in the midst of this and that God never changes, he says that if you're going to change your doctrine and be taken away with strange doctrines and all those things, it's a heart problem. It's a love issue. Because really, to be as honest as I can be tonight, when we're drawn away with strange doctrine, it's because it's convenient for me. There's not a person on planet Earth that truly, all right? Now, maybe there are some insane people, but nobody believes that aborting a baby is not murdering that child. Some of them are okay with it because they worship themselves. And when they're God, they can do as they please. But when you love God and follow his commandments, you can never equate that. You can never come to that place. You can never rationalize that unless there's a part of the problem inside your heart. And again, how is that established? That's established with grace. It's the grace of God. There's no good in me. There's no good in you. It's only because somebody not only told me about the good grace of God, but then the grace got in me, and then I read his book, and all the things the world was trying to teach me and trying to pull me away from a God that loved me and to corrupt my mind and my heart, everything that I was, it was God's word that continued to purify me. It's God's word that comforted me. Even the point we're reading, comforted by love, I am comforted on a consistent basis when I realize the doctrine of the word of God because it keeps me true to my Savior. You say, preacher, why, you know, people, I think a lot of people in this day, this is a big point. And sometimes we don't really make a lot about it, but when we talk about the Baptist church, Baptist on the sign identifies us with our doctrine. It's a body of doctrine that was passed down from Jesus to his apostles, and we continue today in the apostles' doctrine. I love the doctrine of the Word of God. I love my God, and I don't want to stray from that. I don't want anybody to wiggle. You know, we talk about, we could go a long way, but listen, it's not about fundamentalism. It's about love. It's about my heart. It's about doctrines. The fundamental doctrines of the Word of God is what is, when we talk about fundamentalism, Or people talk about a movement. It's not about a movement. It's about a family. It's about people that have continued since the time that Jesus began his church until he returns. It's about a love for a family that I've been adopted into, not about a movement or a group called something. It is about the Word of God and my Jesus. And if you say, well, you're going to, you know, I've heard people say, you know, we're nasty folks. No, we just believe some things. We just have a rock to stand on. And it, to them, when we throw truth at them, they feel like we're chunking rocks. Because we're standing on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you throw truth, the rock I'm standing on is truth. And when I throw truth, I'm throwing rocks, friend. And as preacher would say, when you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one that hollers the loudest is the one that got hit. Amen? Today, I couldn't help, but there are some people, you know, I still smiled and waved at them as well. But there were some people that gave us some lewd gestures and shouted out some things that they wanted to. And, you know, I thought to myself, even knowing what I was going to preach tonight about the love of God, I thought, what love they have for themselves. That they drive by a group of people like this, standing for an unborn child that we don't even know, but we're standing on the side of the street in love because of our Savior and what we believe in the doctrines of the Word of God. And for love of self, they ridiculed. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged when I realize when the world don't like it, I know I'm standing on the right side. When the world screams louder, I know that they just got hit with the rock of truth. And it don't bother me. I'll keep chunking rocks until Jesus comes. Not because I want to hurt them, but one time it's going to land in the right spot and maybe they'll come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at with me, if you would, Romans chapter 8. Say, preacher, I just want to press on here and give you a couple more scriptures tonight. Romans chapter 8, you've heard this verse as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, I don't know about you, but tonight, you know, I know that sometimes they don't throw rocks because they have no truth, but they will shoot back fiery darts of the wicked. And whether you like it or not, they stick, burn, and hurt. But according to the Word of God, even though we may be wounded, maybe we'll be in tribulation because this world is in tribulation. Maybe we will find ourselves in distress or in perils or persecutions or famines, nakedness, peril or sword. But none of those things can separate us from the love of God. And to be able to know those things and to be strengthened by that, to realize that none of these things, Paul said so many times, none of these things move me. I will stay the course. I will keep up the commandments. I'll stay in the fight. I'm not going to be moved. And why? Not because I've just got a gritted out attitude. If we're not careful, men, out of pride is the reason we'll fall out. The reason we stick in is because of love. Not because of some stick-to-itiveness that I have, but because of the Holy Spirit inside of me. You say, preacher, what keeps you at Landmark Baptist Church? Love. Why do you serve? Why do you do the things that you do? Well, why do you do the things you do? Because of love. Why do we run buses? Because of love. Why do we teach kids and try to edify their small little... You know, they come in and they don't even know who Jesus is. They don't know his name. They've never heard of Moses or Adam or anybody. They've never been taught some of the simplest things that it would seem just a few decades ago that every child was taught in the home. But now it's starting at ground zero. They've never heard the name of God except for a curse word. You say, you still bring those kids to church? Absolutely. Who else is going to tell them? You say, "Preacher, well, where should we go fishing?" Anywhere there's people. You say, "Well, do you want us to bring in the rich?" You know, a lot of times it's hard to hook the big ones. They've learned to avoid the hook. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to tell you, if I go fishing in the pond all day and I don't bring nothing home, I feel like I wasted my time. And I'm glad that the Bible is not just a fishing illustration, but it talks about the blessing of being in the field. Because, you know, you don't just get a harvest the day you put seed in the ground. Sometimes you have to plant, sometimes you have to water, and sometimes you get to reap. But boy, what a blessing it is to cast the hook into the water, knowing that I have the right bait. That on the end of the hook, it's not something that's going to be an evil thing like we think about a fish, but this is the good word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What a blessing it is to know that we have a God that we can't be separated from. No storm is going to separate us from the love of God. We know that in 1 John chapter 4 that his love is perfect. And perfect love casts out all fear. So what am I going to do? How is my love going to be perceived by the world? It's going to be seen by me being constrained by my love. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I mean, we're commanded to love. We're comforted by love. And when we're comforted by love, it should constrain us. It should constrain us to go out and to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Do you know when I was first smitten? I don't know if everybody else uses that word, but it kind of reminds me of being bit by a snake, smitten. But it sounds so much like being bitten, doesn't it? But smitten just means that something has caught your eye, that it's taken your full attention. You know, the love of God, when we really do understand it and we give ourselves to it, not just the new commandment of loving each other, but the love we have for each other. You know, we ought to encourage each other to go out, and it ought to constrain us not only to be in the house of God and be faithful to the ministry that he's called us to, whatever that may be, from the nursery choir across the property, Sunday school, anything that is that God has called you to do. Even a sound man ought to be in his place. Amen. Because he's constrained by the love of God. Not because the preacher's going to be there. Not because somebody else is going to be there and see me. But because I love God. I'm going to be in my place because of him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think about this. When I think about the word of God, look at verse number 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now, I just want you to gather this and understand. Paul is writing to a local church. This church was given a new commandment from the Lord Jesus Christ to love one another. He doesn't speak to them as one singular person, but as one singular group. That if one died for every one of us, then we should all, our reckoning, if we should, or we should judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So as a group, think about the body of Christ and what it could do if it wasn't just sporadic few across the auditorium that, you know, the baptismal pool, the idea we even said this morning that you accept Christ, you're baptized and follow the first commandment, and you picture the death, burial, and resurrection to walk in the newness of life, all being dead to self and walking as one body for the singular purpose of whatever it is that Jesus wants us to do. And the only way that's going to be done is if we love one another. The scripture talks about all these different things, and you've heard the truth. But if this hand, it's a good hand. But if it needs washing, this hand has to do it. And this hand may say, you're always getting dirty. It's because it's the hand that goes into dirty places and does the work. And this is the washing hand. Maybe it doesn't work as good as the other hand. It doesn't work and fine-tune all the little things that the other hand can do, but it's a good washing hand. And when I look at over the church and I think about all that gets done and everything on a daily basis, and even when we have a hurricane and things, I mean, people are calling each other because they love each other. People are going to other people's houses and making sure they're cleaned up or that their power's on or if they need anything, those things are done. Those are things the church does out of love. Now, the world does that. So we shouldn't glorify in that. But what about when somebody loses a loved one or somebody is going through a hard time or somebody, I mean, we could go through the list when the world just says, well, that's their problem. That's when, as a Christian brother and sister, it ought to be different with us. If we're not careful, we'll say things like, well, they asked for it. Instead of loving them the way God taught us to love. If we're not careful, we'll say decisions that they have made in their life have brought them to this point. What will change the future decisions is the love that you will show that shows them the love of Christ. You don't teach other people to keep commandments by not keeping them. You teach by example. Say, preacher, look at verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. If we could all, as a church body, what God could do and turn the world upside down, and especially Haines City, if every one of us tonight decided to reckon ourselves dead to self and alive to Christ. Not because he requires it or because it's the commandment, but because we love him. You know, when a parent thinks about their child, you know, there's such love there. But you know, the marriage relationship is what Jesus pictures with his church, not the parent relationship that we often talk about and how great that love is. But a parent-child relationship, there is such love, but a marital relationship, you no longer stay as one person. You become one flesh, according to the scripture. And it becomes a thing where even as God pictures that, he teaches us, because as a church, we ought to become one in Christ Jesus. And our love ought to be something that the world cannot understand, because it should picture the marriage relationship, one for another. You say, well, preacher, what do you mean? I'm not talking about the love that is physical. I'm talking about the spiritual love. This morning we talked about making a promise to nurture and admonish our children as fathers. And it's not talking about a fleshly thing. It's talking about a spiritual nurturing of our children and admonishing them. Folks, tonight I beg you, as a church body, if we could get behind, just let us just keep God's commandments and do them in our lives. But when the going gets tough, why do we keep going? Because of love. We didn't love him first. He first loved us. These things are unmerited. When we remember that, boy, it ought to change everything. You say, preacher, I think about the storm and all the things that are going on around us, and I think the reason that we ought to be different in the midst of every storm that comes in our lives is because of love. We ought to be different, and the world should know it because of love. Not just the love we have for God, because they can't see that. They see the love that we have for one another. That is what is different. You say, preacher, it's not deep. No, it's not deep, but it's something that for every one of us, we need to be reminded about and reminded about and reminded about, because if we're not careful, we'll be just like that first church in the book of Revelations, and we will have left our first love. Work in church, busy, running about, to and fro, doing all the things that we have to do because it's on the calendar. But the thing that lacks, the thing that should season every bit of work that the church does, should be love. And I don't want to be guilty, folks. I don't want us to be guilty as a church body, to be a working church. But there's not much love here. I don't want us to quit working. I want us to work because we love. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet tonight? If you're here tonight and you don't know the love of God, you've never come to the place where you've accepted Christ as your Savior, tonight we will give you an opportunity to receive Christ. We'll take the Word of God and show you how that Christ died and rose again. And if you'll just accept, repent of your sin, turn to Christ, and trust in Him, that tonight you can be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to be scripturally baptized. You need to follow the first commandment, not the new one. The first commandment to a saved person so you can join the local church. Why don't you come and do that tonight? Maybe you're a believer here, and man, just the one thing tonight that you need to pray about is that new commandment. God, help me to follow the new commandment you gave to your church, that I love the brethren. Whatever it is God is asking you to do tonight, you step out and come, as Brother Bert sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender. Surrender humbly at His feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now.
Would you bow your head with me tonight? If you're here and you need to be saved, I beg you, this is an old-fashioned invitation, and the invitation is to you to step out and come to the front. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. We desperately want you. If you came here tonight and you don't know Christ, you don't know the love of God, come and experience it for yourself tonight by receiving His Son for salvation. As Brother Bert sings, we'll give you an opportunity to step out and come.
All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know Thy power divine.
Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. I know that the message was one that you've heard before about love, loving one another, but let me put it in perspective for you tonight. Maybe you need to make a trip down the aisle and just talk to God about it. Maybe there's aught between you and your brother. And I know we just had the Lord's Supper, and I would hope that you have taken care of that before you took the Lord's Supper. But let me just remind you tonight, I was over in the Spanish services this morning, and I felt the love of God. I hope today, if you were in teen church, you felt the love between teenagers because they're members of the church. I hope that if you were in nursery today, you felt the love of God in there and in just all the different areas of our church. It's not just when we talk about it in the auditorium. There's a lot more here going on. In every bus, in every ministry, there ought to be the love of God being shown and shed abroad for your brethren. Well, I don't know. I don't know why it is that God had me preach on that tonight, but I hope that if you have something that's between you and somebody else, you can't go forward. God can't help you be edified or you grow If you are holding something against somebody else, you say, "Preacher, why is that?" Because you say, "Well, I want them to say they're sorry." They probably don't even know about the problem between the two of you. They probably don't even know it's an issue. Tonight, why don't you just give that to the Lord and just decide that you're going to love for your part. As Brother Bert sings and heads are bowed and people are praying, you do what God wants you to do tonight.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender.
Let you be seated. We have something to share with you tonight. We have a couple that want to join. If you'll come, Brother Betancourt, you can come as well. Brother Betancourt is over there leading our Spanish church with Brother Daniel for us right now. And just these folks, you say your name for me. That way I don't mess in brutally.
Martin Mojena.
Mireya Mojena.
See, I'd have messed that up bad. So I appreciate y'all sharing that. These folks have been attending for a while, and they want to join our church by statement, all right, and desire membership in the church. All those that would accept them in, amen. And so we'll do this. Why don't we stand back up? I didn't mean to make you sit down too long, but I knew that you wanted to come by and put out a hand of fellowship to these folks and welcome them in. What a great message to be right before you go shake hands and stay a little while longer. Amen. Brother Perkins, would you come and close us in prayer?
Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We do thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, Father. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the love of our Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you for this couple that's just joined with us. Father, we ask you blessings upon them. And Father, as we dismiss tonight, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe Wednesday night. We love you and praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen.